that our Redeemer lives. Trust the Lord will help me this morning for just a little while to preach to you. From the book of Ezekiel this morning, chapter number 36. Ezekiel chapter number 36. We're going to begin reading with verse number 9. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. The cities shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Ask the Lord to help us for a little while this morning. Father, I beg of you that you'll walk among us this morning. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us, Lord. I pray that you would let the Spirit of the Lord settle down upon us. And I need you this morning, Lord. I need you. I need the touch of God, and I need the help of the Lord this morning. Lay your hand on us, God. Meet us at the altar in just a little while. And to God be the glory and the honor. We pray this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Going to deal for a little while this morning from the latter part, that verse number 11. The Bible said, "And will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And you shall know that I am the Lord." Now, I want to preach to you a while, if I can, this morning about better than your first love. Better than your first love. When nations fall, they usually rise no more. When you go back and you study the history of the world, you find that those great nations that have built themselves empires, and when they fall and they are destroyed, they are almost never again rebuilt as a major power or a major leader again. But you also understand that when men fall, and when we fall, there is a promise, amen, that we can get up and we don't have to stay down. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Micah, and one of the greatest verses that ought to be a stronghold in our lives, in Micah chapter number 7 and verse number 8, that rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Amen. When I fall, I shall arise. Amen. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen. There is a time that when a man falls, that you don't have to stay down, but you can arise again, back to that first love, and you can arise again, amen, back to that beginning experience that you had with the Lord. Amen. When we read this morning, and I want to begin to read to you, amen, about the beginning of our experience. And what was it in our beginning, amen, that caused the experience to be so great? When you go back and you study the children of Israel, and you see them leave the land of Egypt. And they journeyed through the wilderness, and then they crossed over Jordan, and they began to inherit that promised land of God. When you look at that land, they were living in houses that they did not build. They were eating from vineyards they did not plant. And the land flowed with milk and honey. It was a land to be desired. It was a land of pleasure. It was a land of plenty. It was a land of delight. Amen. So if you remember this morning, amen, when you first got saved, if you remember the morning or the night that you knelt at the altar and you moved out of Egypt's land into that land that flowed with milk and honey. How many remember this morning when you got saved? How many remember the days after when you felt light as a feather and all of your sins were gone and the joy of the Lord? Amen. All that first estate, amen, was a similar sweetness to the land that flowed with milk and with honey. When we got saved, we enjoyed a vivid sense of free and full forgiveness. Man, don't you remember how it felt when you knew that he had forgiven you of all of your sins and that there was nothing remembered against you any longer? Amen. The sense of freedom, the sense of forgiveness, amen, the sense of being born again. Amen. Then we had proof of the joy of real, true salvation. You know, I've watched people in this life. I told the class this morning, we had a funeral yesterday, or a memorial service yesterday, of a woman that was a very, she's redheaded, I think, from her pictures. Amen. And she was a feminist and an activist and a lesbian. Come on now. And to show how much her friends thought of her, I thought this was rather comical. I told the funeral director, when you listen to people, they're real funny, but they speak the truth. They had a picture of her, amen, and her poodle on the front page of the folders that we passed out. And I heard a couple of older ladies come in, and they said, "Well, isn't that a mighty nice picture of her dog?" Amen. That's the way people think about you. You hear me? Amen. And Anita Hill, I got to meet Miss Anita Hill. She was the keynote speaker of the eulogy. Amen. I'll tell you, I've been in the presence of some people that were real devils. Do you hear me? Amen. Their lives are so messed up. Their lives are so full of sin. But I want to tell you this morning, when you look at them people, there is no joy. They're fighting for their rights, and they're fighting for their freedoms, and they're fighting to come out of the closet, but there's no joy. But I want to tell you this morning that I went down to the altar and I found real joy, and I found what it was like to be saved by the grace of God. I found real joy in living for God. Oh, the wonderful experience, the wonderful feeling. You know, you see people that they're stingy and they're tight and they're crooked and they get a lot of money. And when they reach that utopium, they're never satisfied and they're never happy. If they've got a million, they want two. If they've got two, they want five. If they've got five, they want 10. Come on now. And they're never really happy. But Brother Ray, I want to tell you, amen, that when I got real salvation, amen, it didn't matter whether I had any money. It didn't matter whether I had a lot of clothes. All that really mattered was that I had Jesus Christ and real salvation. Hallelujah. We gained repeated victories over sinful inclinations. Do you remember, Brother Chuck, after getting saved, when the devil brought that first thing back up to you
that you used to love, and you were able to walk away from it, and you were able to overcome it. Oh, the joy. I mean, the thrill to know that I'm not bound by that any longer, that I am really free. Amen, the outward, amen, the outward temptations, amen, this made us feel the jubilee of Jesus Christ, to know that we had come against the things that used to bind us, and we were free. Hallelujah. Woo! With the alcoholic, realizes that he can live without a drink. And when men tempt him to drink, and he walks away from it. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Oh, the feeling. There's nothing like it. Amen. I said there's nothing like it. You remember what it was like. Amen. I heard a preacher tell, amen, about going to the bar. Amen. He went to the bar every night. Amen. He spent his weekends in the bar. He spent most of his paycheck in the bars. Amen. When he got saved, the devil said, amen, you'll never be able to stay out of the bars. Amen. I heard that man say that when he got saved, he went down there and he got down on his hands and knees. And he crawled all the way down the sidewalk, all the way across in front of that bar. And when he got to the other side, he said, see there, devil, there wasn't even a temptation. There wasn't even a desire. There wasn't even a motive. There was no reason for me to go in. There was no desire to go in. The pull was gone. It is when you realize that you finally gained the victory. And then we feel such great delight in prayer. Amen. When you didn't think it was a task in the mornings to get up and pray, you wanted to get up and pray. Come on. When it wasn't no chore to pick up the Bible, you loved to read the Bible. Then you remember when you got saved, you couldn't get enough of church. And you couldn't get enough of preaching. Brother Jesse Jensen, my dear friend, hey man, wasn't raised in church, wasn't raised around church, but he got saved as an older man. His children were all married. I'm assuming Brother Jesse was up in his 50s and maybe early 60s when he got saved. Hey, he told me, Brother Ray, he told me, he said, when I got saved, hey man, I couldn't go to church enough. While we'd have revival here at Mount Vernon, they lived in Elmore City. He'd drive every night. They wasn't having church to revival. Hey man, we traveled with them. We went to Mississippi, to Alabama. Hey man, Kentucky. We traveled all over this country. Hey man, to camp meetings together. Hey man, he just loved preaching. He'd sit there like a little bird with his mouth open, waiting on a preacher to preach him and to feed him. After he'd been saved 3 or 4 years, hey man, Brother Jesse came, and one day he and I were talking. He said, Brother Ricky, it used to be, hey man, that it didn't matter who got up. Hey man, when they preached, I got fed. He said, but I've been saved a little while now, and I've heard a lot of preaching, and now I'm getting a little pickier on my preachers. Now I kind of pick where I go and who I hear preach. Come on now. That's the way we are. You know it's the way we are. But I ought to tell you, it ought to be that there ought to be a thrill in our hearts to get to hear somebody preach again the word of God, and somebody bring me the word and feed me Jesus. It was a desire to hear the word of God. And then we abounded in zeal. I've seen it when they got saved, they wanted to lead testimony service every night. Come on now. And Brother Chuck, thank you. God bless your heart. I hope it don't ever get away from you. I hope you don't ever get like some of the rest of us around here. That when a testimony service comes, you want to be the first one to testify. Hallelujah. Come on now. Oh, that's the way it was when you got saved. I said that's the way it was when your first love came. Have you wanted to tell everybody about your salvation? Do you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? I've heard of them talk about getting it and going home and waking everybody in the house up. And nobody was excited but them, but they wanted everybody to know it. I'm telling you, we need another wave of glory. I said, you know how it was when you first got it. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord was our strength. We were in our first love. And everything was intense. And everything was hopeful. Everything was wonderful to our humble minds. You remember when you first got married? Come on now. You remember when you first got married? You know, in all of my several years of working, you can probably count the times I've been late on one hand. But after I got married, I probably come as near being late right then as I ever did, because I didn't really want to leave home in the mornings. Come on now. I was so much in love that when I could, I'd go home at lunchtime. 45 minutes, take you 10 minutes to get there, 10 minutes back. I'd go home when I could at lunchtime, just so I could see my bride. And then, work overtime? Forget it. You're going to have to tie me here. Because when 4:30 comes, I'm going home. You hear me? I sat yesterday with a man. He told me, he said, I took a psychology course in college in one of my classes. He said, after being married, I don't know how long you've been married. I don't have a clue. Now, you men, don't practice this. He said, after I'd been married so long, I finally sat down and analyzed my wife, and I decided she was beyond help, and I could not do anything with her. And the only way we was going to ever make it was if I left her. So I packed up my duds and I moved. He said, I found out, hey man, that I was spending. This is a morbid thought, you hear me? He said, I found out that I was spending 50 and 60 hours a week in this funeral home. Hey man, I found out I'd rather be here in this funeral home than I had at home with my wife. I said, what a morbid thought. Come on now. I don't tell you, when you first got saved, you thought nothing at all about spending time with the Lord. You were excited about getting to spend time. I'll tell you, if you were excited this morning, hey man, about your marriage. You know, when we got married, Sharon couldn't cook all that well. And really, she couldn't. You ask her. She really couldn't cook all that well. We lived a good little while on pancakes. She knew how to make pancakes. And I'll tell you, I was so much in love, it didn't matter. And I could eat pancakes two times a day, and it didn't make a bit of difference to me. Come on now. You know how it was. Amen. Amen. Come on now. I'll tell you tonight, our marriages would be better if we get back to our first love. I said our marriages would be better. Amen. If we would get back to our first love. Amen. If we would tell her when she walks through the door, amen, my, you look awful pretty this morning. Amen. If you'd stop by the store and buy a rose. I told Sharon the other day, I'll bring you more flowers now. When everybody gets through at the cemetery, I'll pull you a rose or two and I'll bring you a few flowers. Hey, I'll tell you what you do. Amen. Go ahead and stop by the store. Bring a rose or two. Get her a box of chocolates. Come on now. I said, if you'd work on your marriage as you did when you first got married, if she would become the light of your life, if she would become the queen of your home, your marriage would go better. Amen. We were wonderful. It was wonderful to our humble mind. We were simple-hearted and confiding. And this next one now, we were blind to the imperfections of our brethren. And we were too humbled to look for them. Now, let me explain that to you if you didn't get it. I said we were too humbled to look for the failures in our brethren. You know why it was? Because we were not so far removed from the pit ourselves. And we remembered where he brought us from. And we realized that we had no right to boast or to brag. Come on now. But that we were nothing more than saved by the grace of God. Amen. I wonder what happens to us after we've been saved a while. And we have forgotten that we were purged. And we have forgotten that we were pulled out. And all of a sudden we start judging. And all of a sudden we start picking. And we start poking at one another. And pulling out. And instead of looking, we magnify the faults of others. And we talk about the faults of others. While we are ourselves and hide our own inefficiencies and our own failures. Come on now. I'm preaching right to you this morning. But when we first get saved, everybody looks good to us. We love everybody. And we're blind to the imperfections of others. We were laughing the other night, Brother Melvin, Sister Terry, me and Sharon were eating. And I said something about Sharon making them first biscuits, trying to make them at home, homemade biscuits. They were horrible. You could have played softball with them. I don't know how in the world you run Jell-O, but I tell you, she run Jell-O one time. You couldn't cut it with a knife or a fork. You could throw it against the wall and it would have stayed there, you hear me? And stayed together while you were throwing it. I don't know how you can run Jell-O. But you know what? We were so in love, it didn't matter. I'll tell you, we didn't have any money. Do you hear me? We didn't have any money. One of the first things that me and Sharon's mom got into, and I love her, and she loves me too. But one of the first things we got into it over was we went to Dairy Queen, and they was having Sundays for 25 cents. Anybody remember that? Sunday sale, 25 cents. And I told Sharon, you and I are going to get one and share it. And Sharon's mom turned around to me and said, she can have one if she wants one. And I said, she cannot. Because we didn't have very many quarters. I said, we will buy one and we will share it. Come on now. Then were the days we bought one Coke and two straws. And there weren't free refills. Come on. But we never noticed because we were in love. Come on. I never noticed her imperfections. They were blind to me. I could not see them. Come on. I made comment the other day to Sharon. We was talking about someone, a pretty girl, and a lanky, skinny, ugly boy. I said, what in the world does she see in him? She's a pretty girl. My good wife said, have you looked at our pictures? I was a skinny, come on, lanky. It wasn't very lanky, short too, on top of that. Somebody looked at our wedding pictures a while back and said, you know what, a little weight did you some good. Well, thank the Lord for weight then. Amen. Listen to me. Hear me for a minute. Hear me. We're blind. We're blind to the imperfections of others. Come on. We're blind to the imperfection of others. It's because their spirit is because I'm so in love with Christ and I love him so much. And my eyes are on him. That when you testify, my eyes are on him. And I'm listening to you testify, but I'm worshiping him. And my eyes are blind to your faults and to your failures. Come on now. I'm preaching to you about our first love. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. When I read that this morning, Amen. That means that before Bathsheba. Come on. I said that means before Bathsheba that Jehoshaphat walked in the first ways of his father. I tell you, young people, this morning, it is my desire, amen, that you would say, I want to walk in Brother Ricky's first ways, but I want to walk in his last ways, for I want you to know it can be better at the end than it is at the beginning. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The first ways of David, his father. Can we enjoy something better than our beginnings? Amen. Oh, if we walk more closely with him. Amen. I said if we walk more closely with him, we can enjoy our endings better than our beginnings. Our faith will be made stronger and it will be more steadfast. Our knowledge will be fuller and deeper, and our love will be more consistent and it will be more enduring. I want you to know what we're needing tonight and what we're needing this morning at Mount Vernon is for every one of us to desire a closer walk with God, to get back like we were at our beginning. Many times we feel like that our marriages can never be as great as they one time were. We feel like our experience can never be as great as it one time was. I tickled this. It's funny. When I knew Guy Sheila was coming, you got a little taste of Guy, but you got to really know him. He said to me, he called me a few days ago, and he said, there's one request I got to ask of you. If I'm going to stay in that evangelist quarters, you know, I need a TV in there. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing, and you know well as I do, you're not getting a TV in there. They went Wednesday night. They went up to check their property up at Siloam Springs, and he took Sheila over to visit with some folks at Mulberry, Kansas, and Guy was down there around his property checking things out and surveying things, and he stayed in a motel. He told me when he got back Thursday, he said, I'll tell you what, I nearly wore my thumb out on that remote. I finally got a TV, and I was just having myself a blast. I picked up my remote to my radio, and I said, here, if a remote what you want, take it over there, and tonight when you lay down in the bed in the evangelist quarters, just work that remote all you want to. I don't care. Just work it all you want to work it. Sheila said, and God wasn't around. She came in the house, and she said, I'll tell you what. This is so wonderful. He doesn't have a TV. He doesn't have anything to occupy his time. He honestly is talking to me. We're talking when we go to bed. We're talking when we're getting up. We're laying in the bed in the mornings talking. Just talking. Woo, she said, I love it. Hey, listen. It will be better if you'll get closer to him. I said, if you'll get closer to him. Oh, God, if you get closer to him, I mean, if you'll draw him into you and you'll say, Lord, I want to be near to you. I want my faith to be stronger. I want my faith to be more steadfast. I want my knowledge of you to be fuller. And I want my knowledge to be deeper. I want to be more in love with you. I want to be more constant and more consistent and more enduring. You know what our marriages need? They need another honeymoon. Hallelujah. They need a renewal. After we've been married a couple of years, two or three years, four or five years, I don't remember how long, but I took Sharon back down to Sulphur where we stayed the night in the motel. We gave $7 a night for it when we got married. It's really a swanky place, I'm telling you. $7 a night. We went down there after we'd been married a little while. And we was doing better. But, you know, for old times, I always wanted to go back and stay in that same old room. And last night we stayed there. There was cockroaches all over the walls. And it smelled a little bit musty. And We got up that next morning. I knew the honeymoon was going to be over if I didn't do some changing. And she said to me, "We're doing a little better now. If you're going to bring me back to Sulphur, we don't got to stay in this room. In this motel, we can do a little better than this." Come on. Man, there's some of us trying to treat our experience as we did when we got it. We're trying to take our experience back to that same old $7 roach-infested motel and wondering why in the world we're not living for God and why we're not enjoying this journey. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to take another honeymoon. You need to get back in love with Jesus. I said you need to love him more. And that love needs to be more consistent. And needs to be more fervent. And that love needs to be drawing. Amen. Our prayers need to be more prevailing. And our usefulness needs to be expanded beyond what we are. I tell you, there needs to be a time that you get up on your feet and you learn to carry your load. When Davey went home from Florida, he set it down at the home church and went to work. He stayed there a couple of years, and Brother Benny babied him, and Brother Benny peppered him, and Brother Benny surrounded him and secured him and protected him. And Davey said, one day, Brother Benny called me in the office and said, "All right, Davey, you've been carried long enough. It's time for you to put your feet on the ground. It's time for you to get underneath the load and start carrying your share of the load." Come on now. Amen. Our prayers become more prevailing. And I want you to know our usefulness is expanded beyond just a church member. Our usefulness is expanded beyond just a bench warmer. You need to start learning to shoulder your responsibility. You need to start learning to carry the load. I tell you what you need to do. Amen. We need, on the whole, to become mature Christians. You need to grow up. Amen. You need to grow up. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more. Come on. You've been saved 30 years. It's time you act like a 30-year-old Christian. How many of us, amen, enjoy? Come on. How many of us enjoy when our children are two? Amen. I remember when Brent was little and we were potty training him. I remember when I took him to the sale barn with me. And that day we were there that morning. And he wet his britches. And it made me aggravated. Amen. And so I had to leave the sale and I took him home. And on the road home, I said to him, "Young man, that is the last day you go with me until you tell me when you need to go to the bathroom. And we don't have any more accidents. And until then, you're not going with me." Now, he loved to go with me. That was the last time that ever happened. You hear me? One time. He grew up. When he is 5 years old, I didn't have to take him to the bathroom. I sent him to the bathroom. Come on. Then when he got older, he never even asked. I'd look around, he'd be gone. I knew where he was at. Come on. It'd be pitiful, him 32 years old, and me taking him to the bathroom right now. Wouldn't that be a ridiculous thing? But some of us are still being led around by the hand. Come on, it's time we grow up a little bit, that we mature in this. If you're not farther tonight or this morning than you were when you got saved, then you're not growing. There is something wrong with you. We might need to have you analyzed. You know, Brent walked real early. Javonna didn't take a step till she was two. We knew it was going to be slower. But we were thrilled when she started walking at 2. Come on. I'm telling you that if you're doing the best you can and you're maturing as much as you can, we're thrilled at the progress. But when you can progress farther and you're refusing to progress, you need to go back and get a hold of that first love again. You need to grow more and more under the perfect day. Growth in grace brings with it many wonderful things. You know what? There's some things. There's some things that grows with maturity. Getting to drive a car. I didn't say that grows with 16. I said that grows with maturity. There's some people 16 don't have no business with a car. There's some people 25 don't have no business with a car. There's some people 50 years old don't have no business with a car. There's some things that's growing. You know, my dad's the smartest man in the world. He wouldn't let me have a Mustang when I was 16, and I was really angry about that. I couldn't understand that. Now I'm 50, and now I have a Mustang. Now I understand why my dad didn't let me have a Mustang. I'm glad he didn't let me have a Mustang. I probably wouldn't have made 50 because I drove that Falcon hard enough and fast enough, and it was like a tank. Thank the Lord. But there's some blessings that growing old, you know, that's better. Hey, you know what? Every once in a while right now, I got to join AARP at 50. Sharon got to join this year too. That's pretty nice. You get 10% off at some restaurants and some motels now. That's pretty nice. I'm waiting on 55. Furs gives you discount 55. Some restaurants do when you go eat 55. I can't hardly wait. There's advantages to getting older. You get Cokes for a quarter at McDonald's when you're over 60. Come on now. There's advantages to get older. You get mature. You get older, and you know what? Your marriage ought to be that away. Come on. I said your marriage ought to be that away. You ought to love her more today than you did when you walked down the aisle with her. We sat at the hospital Friday night, and I said, well, I'm fixing to go home. And Brother Chris said, I believe I'll put my bags in your car, and I believe I'll go with you because I really like to spend my nights at home with my sweetie pie. I believe I'll go home with you. That's the way it ought to be. Come on now. How can we secure this betterness? The Bible said, and I'm trying to hurry. I know I'm preaching a little longer than I intend to. I thought I wouldn't preach very long. But listen to what he said right before that in that verse. And I will settle you after your old estates. There must be a resettlement according to our old estates in our own souls. You know what you're going to have to do to get back to where you were when you had that first love? You're going to have to go back to that first love. And you're going to have to resettle them accounts that you settled when you got saved. And those things that you laid down when you got saved, for you to still remain, you're going to have to lay them down again. Amen. Brother Melvin, you can't go back to the dog tracks. And if you do, you're going to have to lay them down again. Come on now. You got to resettle them old accounts and go back in under the same rules that you first applied. Amen. There's some people think after they've been saved a little while, they can just pick up all kinds of things of the world and still go right on to heaven. You know what it is? You've left your first love. You've been soured by your first love. I want to tell you, Sharon's dad always said, amen, there wasn't no man, amen, that could manage two women. Come on now. God didn't make us that way. He made one man for one woman, and you need to stay with her until death do you part. Amen. And what happens to marriages is always it's someone else coming in and paying attention to your spouse, or you start paying attention to someone else that always breaks up the marriage. Come on now. Whether it's internet or on person or job or whatever it is because one man and two women can never make it. Come on now. One woman and two men can never make it. Come on. God made us like that. Come on. God made us like that. If you boys would treat her and court to her like you did when you first found her, there's no way the devil himself could break up your marriage if you'd go back under them same agreements. Oh, God. It got an awful long ways around the car. But to be honest, I used to not have to walk around the car. I opened the door and she slid in under the steering wheel. Come on. I told her a while back, I'm still sitting in the same place I always sat. You're the one that moved. You couldn't tell whether it was one or two going down the road. It looked like one person with a big head. Now you like her better in the back seat. And if you got three seats, you want her all the way in the back of the three seats. And if it's a trunk, you can get her in there. That's where you want her to ride. We must return to our first simple faith in God. You know what? We've really complicated a lot of things. We've complicated our faith in God. We've complicated our service in God. We used to believe what he said. And now we want to see if we can figure out how he's going to do it if I ask him to do it. It was a simple faith in God. We must quit sins that alienate us from God. We must be more thorough and earnest. Oh, God. He knows whether you're serious or not this morning. He knows whether this is your heart's desire or not. Or if you're here because you're made to be here, or you're here because you want to be here. He knows. Yeah, honey, I love you. She knows whether you mean that or not. Come on. We must seek after closer fellowship with Christ. And we must strive to advance in spiritual things. Boys, I'm going to tell y'all, it doesn't bother me that you preach 1 minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. It doesn't bother me right now. But a year down the road, I expect you to be deeper in that word, and I expect you to have more to say than 1 minute's worth of preaching. I expect you to advance. Come on. I expect you to advance. I expect you to learn how to study. I expect you to learn how to make notes. And I expect you to know how to link scriptures together and thoughts together. And I expect you to get better. Come on now. And you to advance. And after 5 years of preaching, I don't expect 5 minutes of preaching. I don't expect you to walk up here and open your Bible and hum-haw around and try to figure out what you're doing. I expect you to be better than that. Now, let me come on down just a minute, all right? Come on, let me knock on your door for a minute. Some of you still testifying like you did when you got saved. As a matter of fact, some of you probably testified better when you got saved than you do now. God expects better things out of us. Our testimony services ought to be better now than they've ever been. But is it because we have not advanced that they're not? And you young people, listen to me. It's wonderful to stand and say, I'm glad I'm saved. But I want to tell you, after you've been saved a while, it needs to advance beyond that. You need to start thanking God for some things individually that he's done for you. Come on now. I'm just talking to you real plain for just a minute. There needs to be some growth and there needs to be some improvement. And you know it is. It is the other night. And I told Dustin, he was running that part of service and service got high. And listen, I've been there. I've done it more than one time that it was high. And when I took it, it fell to the bottom. And I don't like it when it does that. It was high. And I said, now, son. He turned around, looked at me, and I said, don't look at me. You reach for it till you know what to do next. And then you do it. Sometimes I don't know what to do with it. Come on. You advance. You learn how to feel after the Spirit of the Lord. You learn how to listen to God speak to you. That's not just for preachers. That's for all of us. We need to be advancing. You know what I always liked? I always liked baby cereal. And when Brent was a baby, I'd take a bite of it every once in a while when Sharon would mix it up, that rice baby cereal, you know. I didn't think it tasted too bad. There was some of that baby food that wasn't too bad, you know. I'd slip a little bite of that every once in a while. But I want to tell you something. I didn't eat baby food on a regular diet. I like to go to Texas Roadhouse and have a 6-ounce sirloin every once in a while. Come on. I don't want baby food now. Don't enjoy it. Can't live off of it. You got to have something else after a while. You got to grow up. I want to tell you, sometimes we've got to mature. We've got to put on some weight. You can't eat baby food and do a day's work. Try that, Brother Chuck. Try finishing 10 yards of concrete tomorrow. And all you eat before you go to work is a jar of baby food. And for lunch, eat a jar of baby food. You won't have no heart trouble, buddy. You'll pull the weight off. And no weight problem either. But you can't do that many days till you get sick. You've got to have something else. For this cause, there are many sick and weak among us because they've never matured. They've never matured. God help us this morning. I've done my best to preach to you. We really need to get back to our first love. We really need to fall in love with him again. Fall in love with him again. Don't you see a need this morning? You know, there's no telling what would happen to this church if every one of us would fall back in love with him again like we did the night we got saved. And if we would live in that joy and that peace and that freedom that we had then. If we would quit like men and behave like men, but serve like children and love like children. I told Sharon more than one time she'd come in our lives, and she said, so-and-so happened between so-and-so today at school. This has been my words to her. If you mothers will stay out of it, tomorrow the children will have forgotten it. And they'll be going on. And you mothers will be at each other over what the children was doing. You'll just leave it alone, and you'll forget it. The children will soon forget it. And they'll go on and be best of friends, and you're not. You're having problems. Come on. If we'd quit like men, if we'd labor like men, and we'd love like children, oh, how wonderful it is. Yesterday I saw a man, old man, come in to do a funeral. He must have been in his 70s, I'm guessing. Maybe close to 80. He had an old pair of khakis on, and they weren't ironed and pressed very well. He wasn't much taller than I am and considerably bigger. And a white shirt and an old jacket that didn't match his khakis. And when he tied his tie, that bottom thing stuck down about that far below his top thing, he looked a pitiful mess. I told the funeral director, I said, oh, for the days that you can get mature enough and senior enough that it don't matter it don't matter. Come on. That you and I could get singleness of eye again. That all that really matters when we come to the house of God is to have a move of God. And all it comes is to forget the failures of others and love one another and cherish one another. Amen. Come on and pull together with one another until the glory of the Lord falls among us again. It only happens when we love a lot and we find fault very little and we worship a lot and we care for one another a lot and we bear one another's burdens. Come on. And so fulfill ye the law of Christ. Come on, Sister Becky. I've preached long enough. When we get back to our first love. When we get back to our first love. One of the greatest trips that Sharon and I have taken. We took about 3 years ago. 4 years ago, maybe now. Javonna, of course, stayed with her grandmother. And Sharon and I hooked on that fifth wheel with that dually. And we were going to Tennessee to preach and on down to preach at Brother Johnny Gabbard's in Kentucky. And then we were going to go spend a few days in Gatlinburg on our way home. And Brother Melvin, we would drive till we'd find a real nice campground. And we'd pull over in that campground. And just the two of us, we'd go walk in the evening. Or there was a resort or two that they had swimming pools and nobody was even around. And we were the only one there. And we'd get in the pool together, swim a little, go back to our room, go back to our trailer, clean up, cook us a meal. Just the two of us. We spent a week and a half on the road, just traveling from campground to campground, just the two of us, making our way to Tennessee and then on into Kentucky to do a little preaching. Just the two of us spending time together. Those are wonderful hours. Somebody asked her in 1985, when I quit working in 84, and he asked her, right before I quit, what in the world are you going to do with him home all the time? How can you stand that? Well, number one, I haven't been home all the time. And number two, she loves it. You hear me? We've grown closer. Our love and our friendship is better. Our marriage is stronger today than it's ever been. Our marriage is stronger than it's ever been. You know what? This morning, Brother Melvin, when I came to pray, I told him, I hope my love for him after 35 years is stronger than it's ever been. I hope my experience is stronger than it's ever been. I wish my faith was stronger. I wish I could just believe him, Ray. When I ask him, I could believe him. I hope my ministry's advanced. But I told the children this morning in class that we were studying, and we've been talking about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And really, it's not to your interest. It's not to my wife's interest or to my children's interest. But it's for my best interest that my experience with him is strong. And my relationship with him is strong. It's for my interest. Because I'm the one that will stand in judgment. Come on, stand with me this morning. I've done my best to preach to you this little message. What about your first love this morning? Would you like for it to be stronger? Brother Chuck, I hope it don't ever slack up. I hope it don't ever slow down. I hope you're the first one on your feet 10 years from now testifying. Oh, that our love was stronger. Come on with me this morning. Let's pray a little while. Let's ask the Lord to renew our love.